Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Brookfield India Real Estate Trust Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. On this call, we have with us today Mr. Alok Agarwal, CEO and MD, Mr. Rachit Kothari, Non-Executive Director, Mr. Amit Jain, CFO of Brook Prop Management Services Private Limited, Mr. Shailendra Sabhnani from Brookfield. I now hand the conference over to the management for opening comments. Over to you.
Yeah. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Alok. On behalf of Brookfield India Real Estate Trust, I extend a warm welcome to all participants joining us for today's Q1 Financial Year 2026 earnings call. Let me begin by sharing some insights on India's macroeconomic environment and its continued relevance to the office real estate sector. India's economic outlook remains strong, and India is projected to remain one of the fastest growing large economies, reaffirming its dominance in the global economic landscape. Stabilizing inflation trends have enabled Reserve Bank of India to cut the repo rates thrice in 2025, a total of 100 bps reduction, and this would help boost liquidity for the business. The Indian office market witnessed record-breaking leasing performance in 2024 and is poised for sustained momentum in 2025 as well, cementing India's reputation as an office to the world. As per industry reports, office leasing momentum remains healthy, with gross absorption exceeding 40 million square feet in H1 CY 2025. And on yearly basis, we expect this to cross 90 million square feet. Here, it's heartening to note that from last 2 years, we have been crossing all-time high leasing year on year. Space taken by GCCs played a key role in strengthening office absorption. The GCC is contributing a share of over one-third in the overall office space leasing in H1 of calendar year 2025, followed by BFSI and tech companies. India's abundant skilled talent pool continues to attract MNCs seeking to establish or expand their GCCs. This, coupled with combination of stable inflation, improving interest rate outlook, and sustained corporate growth, augurs well for increased demand for space take up in 2025, 26, and later years as well. Brookfield India REIT remains well positioned to capitalize on this demand with high quality, future ready campuses in top gateway cities. Turning to Brookfield India REIT, I am delighted to report a good last quarter. We achieved gross leasing of 6,50,000 square feet in Q1. FY 2026, of which 61% was with GCCs. The re-leasing spread stood at 22%, one of the highest in recent quarters. It is interesting to note that of the total leasing that happened in this quarter, over 78%, that is over 5 lakh square feet gross leasing, was across our SEG properties. This included SEG space as well as NPS space. Post-SEG reforms in December 2023, we have achieved gross leasing of about 4.6 million square feet across our portfolio. This leasing was spread across SEG, IT commercial, and NPA areas, the former two taking roughly 40% share each, and NPA areas contributing over 20% plus percentage. It's interesting to note that GCCs contributed 40% of this total gross leasing during this 18-month period, which is roughly over 1.8 million square feet, showing continued demand from GCCs. There is a strong demand revival in our SEG portfolio, with occupancies growing by over 11% in past 18 months. SEG properties, K1, and downtown Powai, SEZ, are already at over 95% occupancy, and G1 and G2 are at mid-80s and moving towards 90% occupancies. We continue to have a strong pipeline across our SEZ properties, and we expect occupancies to improve across all of our SEZ properties in quarters to come. At portfolio level, we look at our occupancy track record for past 6 quarters. We have been able to consistently increase our occupancy quarter on quarter. With over 9% occupancy growth in past 6 quarters, our committed occupancy for the REIT portfolio today stands at 89%. Our board has approved a preferential issue of Rs. 1000 crore at an issue price of Rs. 310 to new investors. Of course, this is subject to unit holders' approval. This would help create capacity to pursue future growth opportunities. We are in conversation with our sponsor group to evaluate acquisition opportunities in Bangalore and Chennai. On the ESG front, we continue to make significant strides towards our net zero carbon goals by 2040 or sooner. Currently, 44% of the total energy requirement at our Delhi NCR campuses is sourced from renewable energy, and we are on track to achieve 100% green power across all our campuses by 2027. We have also achieved 44% reduction in carbon emissions against the 50% target by 2030. On the resource utilization side, we have reduced water consumption by 27% and achieved 58% recycling of water across our portfolio. In recognition of our efforts on the ESG front, we received many accolades and awards. Some of them are EDGE, which is Excellence in Design for Greater Efficiencies, certification by IFC, which is part of World Bank Group, in recognition of achieving over 20% savings in energy, water, and embodied energy in downtown Powai. G1, G2, N1, N2, and K1 have successfully been recertified under the ISO 50001 Energy Management System Standard, reaffirming their continued commitment to energy efficiency and sustainable operation practices. We also received CII Kaizen Awards for the best sustainability practice for downtown Powai, both SEG and IT commercial assets, and Airtel Center, demonstrating a strong focus on ESG initiatives. Looking ahead, we expect leasing momentum to remain strong in the rest of the year, with high quality, future-ready campuses offering both SEG, NPA, and IT-oblique commercial space. We are well positioned to attract a diverse tenant base and accelerate our journey towards higher occupancy and growth. Let me invite Amit to take you through the financial updates.
Yeah, thank you, Alok. Good afternoon, everyone. We continue to grow organically with sequential occupancy improvement, contractual escalations, as well as the spreads achieved on re-leasing and renewals. Our operating lease rentals have grown to Rs. 458 crore in Q1 FY2026, 9% higher YOY compared to Rs. 420 crore in the same period last year. The NOI for Q1 FY2026 is at Rs. 499 crore, 13% higher YOY compared to Rs. 440 crore in the same period last year. On the distributions front, we are distributing Rs. 5.25 per unit this quarter, translating to a total distribution of Rs. 319 crore. This is an increase of 17% YOY compared to Q1 FY2025. Our REIT is well positioned to benefit from the reducing interest rate environment, backed by robust credit rating and predominantly repo-linked borrowings. As you are aware, RBI had reduced repo rates consecutively for 3 times in calendar year 2025, reducing the benchmark interest by 100 basis points. Our portfolio has 88% of our loans linked to repo rate, and this interest rate cut shall translate to savings and hence increase distributions for us. We have already achieved 35 bps reduction in our portfolio interest rate in Q1 FY2026, and the remaining 55 bps reduction in our portfolio interest rate shall come into effect in Q2 FY2026. This would lead to additional interest savings of INR 61 crore per annum. We continue to maintain a dual AAA rating from ICRA and CRISIL on the back of our strong balance sheet, a long-dated maturity profile, and limited amortizations over the next few years. Our outlook for future growth of NOI and distribution in our current portfolio is very healthy. Once our current portfolio achieves stabilization at 97.5% occupancy, we would realize growth of 13% in NOI and 23% in our distribution. In terms of numbers, this would mean our distribution per unit on a stabilized basis would become rupees 26 plus. And this is without accounting for any impact on account of contractual escalations, MTM, and any future changes in the interest rates. With that, I would request the moderator to open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder to all participants, if you wish to ask any questions, you may press star and one. We have our first question from the line of Puneet from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. My first question is on the change in working capital and index adjustment of, you know, 375 million. If you can talk a bit about how much of it is coming from tenant deposits and which assets in particular, it would be very helpful.
Puneet, this is primarily related to the vendor payments, I would say. Now, in March quarter, there are our manpower vendors who are typically paid in a time lag of 2 to 3 months. But say for March quarter, because of the year-end cycle, that lag is reduced to, say, a month period, right? But now in June, coming in June, so there is a time lag of, say, 2 to 3 months in making the vendor payments. So I would say the major movement in the working capital is because of this change in the cycle for the vendor payments, especially the manpower vendors.
And that is a positive number for you, right?
Yeah, that's correct. In the current quarter, you know, we have made lesser payments and thereby, yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Secondly, on your, CAM and other revenue, if I look at CAM as a percentage of income from operating lease rentals, that has gone up to almost 40% compared to 34-35% what it used to be. How should one read that?
This is driven by increase in occupancy levels as well, Puneet. Our occupancy levels have grown by 9% in last 18 months, right? And even in, you know, quarter on quarter, if you see, you know, occupancy is growing. So that means, and obviously the operating expenses, the CAM expenses don't grow in the same ratio, while our CAM revenues, grow as our occupancy increases. So that is the broad impact and the reason for improvement in the CAM margins overall.
But between the fourth quarter 25 and fifth and the current quarter, where I think your occupancies have gone up marginally, the jump seems to have been quite sharp. That's what I'm trying to understand.
So there are 2-3 reasons there. So I would say, there is a contribution from Myope as well. Myope was acquired in the REIT portfolio in Jan to March quarter. So there is a profit margin which Myope has for providing property management services to G1. So that is one factor. And as you see, the expenses have also increased, right, quarter on quarter. So that translates into the increase in revenue as well. Occupancy growth is the third reason. And then if you see the ONR margins for our Kairos portfolio have improved because we have been able to recover higher costs as CAM revenue in that particular portfolio. So I would say that these 3-4 are the primary reasons for a major increase in CAM revenue quarter on quarter.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you. And lastly, if you can talk...
A large part of leasing that we had done 6 months back has started generating income only this quarter. So some amount of impact is on account of that as well.
Yeah, no, I'm saying I think on a Q-on-Q basis, your income from operating lease has been flat, but it's the CAM increase which is driving in the growth on the NOI side. So hence the question here.
Yeah, that's right.
Lastly, on the preferential issue, how should we think about that versus a QIP? Why go for preferential issue and not a QIP?
Yeah, so the reason we decided to raise a preferential issue as a manner of fundraising was really because there's a lot of interest in the market from non-institutions as well, which we were receiving. At the same point in time, in a QIP, a lot of, I would say, corporates who don't have QIB licenses or high-net-worth clients or family offices cannot participate. So this is the only way we can make them participate in the company's growth. So we decided to tap into the opportunity and raise funds. As you're already aware, we are in conversations with the sponsor group to enable a large entry into Bangalore and Chennai. So in many ways, this 1,000 crores, if this gets approved by other unit holders, will add to the 3,500 crores that we raised in Q3 of last financial year, and give us about 4,500 crores to 5,000 crores of dry powder, which will help us buy assets worth 7,000 to 7,500 crores. So we believe we are in a good spot, and this fundraise will help us only strengthen.
Understood. That's helpful. And lastly, on the ROFO part, what should one think about as a timeline for evaluating that on the ROFO, except Equinox?
Yeah, so I think the current focus for the REIT is to grow into markets that it's not present in. So I think the focus is Bangalore and Chennai right now. And I think in terms of timing, of course, management wants to do it as soon as possible. We continue to work with the sponsor group. But we'll, of course, announce it as soon as we can.
Okay, so my reading was they are also looking to sell to third party. So it's unlikely to come to REIT. That's how one should read it.
Oh, you're talking about the right of first offer?
For Equinox, yeah.
Yeah, so I think the seller has found a better price in the private markets for that asset, and it's likely that it goes through there, but if it does not, then the REIT ROFO comes back after 3 months.
So REIT did make an offer, which was the seller got a better price in the market.
Understood, that's helpful. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, if you wish to ask any questions, you may press star and one. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, you may press star and one now. We have our next question from the line of Pritesh Sheth from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. First is on leasing. So I think good traction this quarter on G1, G2 and N2 specifically. How is the pipeline sort of looking like now? Can we extrapolate this run rate in terms of leasing, what we have seen in this quarter for the full year, and what would be our occupancy target for these three assets for this year, considering the start that we have got? And second, on the exit that we saw in our Kensington non-SEA portfolio, likely was Crisil. By when can we backfill this space? And what sort of rental expectations that we would be having? So first two questions on leasing.
Yeah, Pradesh, this is Alok. Multiple questions, so let me take one by one. In terms of Crisil, we all knew that it's going to get vacated. We are in a very, very advanced discussions with a global MNC to take up the space. And we are very confident that it should close, it should close this month itself. So that leasing of the same is secured. It will happen at market rentals. That's going on. So that's something, we are comfortable. No challenges in that. So that's one. Then you talked about the pipeline. So the pipeline is strong, and it is across across assets. We have a 5 million square feet kind of a pipeline as of today, which is spread up across SEGs, NPA, and commercial and IT assets. So, you know, and of course, pipeline doesn't mean that everything would get converted, but we have seen in past strong conversion to our pipe, you know, to the pipeline what we have. Some of them are advanced decisions. So leasing something we are comfortable with, and, you know, we have been maintaining that leasing momentum is there and it will continue to kind of a roll out. Let me but also just talk a bit about individual assets, which will give some comfort. When we talk about G1, we already at 84% good pipeline for SEG as well as NPA flows. So that momentum is continuing. K1, we are already at about 97%, you know, so pushing for the little leftover stuff. N2 is something, again, work in progress. I think G2 is something I would like to talk about because I think last call some concerns were raised about G2, but we have maintained that G2 also, you know, probably it will get resolved with bit of lag. We have seen two new tenants taking space in G2 last quarter, and so and both of tenants are from our existing portfolio. They have preferred G2. They have been looking at G2. So this again validates that you know, G2 also is gaining momentum. And please also keep in mind that in G2, while we have a strong discussions on NPA, we have not closed leases as such, but we are very confident that in next few months we should also do that. So again, I'm saying there was always some concerns at G2, but as we have maintained, we are getting strong momentum in G2 as well. And considering what we have given up, you know, our leasing guidance that, you know, early 90s, 93% around that 100 basis point, 200 basis point, we should be able to continue to, you know, keep making progress in leasing, and rentals also kind of are moving up. Tenants are closing leases faster, you know, not a lot of negotiations happening. We're seeing 60% is by GCCs in our portfolio. So good positive momentum in leasing across sectors with, I would say, you know, kind of a rental also firming up gradually across assets.
And I'll just add to what Alok said. You know, we have about 1.7 million square feet of non-processing areas in our portfolio, of which 700,000 square feet is yet to be leased because some of that conversion has happened very recently. So if only that portion gets leased, we'll pick up 3% in occupancy, and there's a much wider pipeline for that area today. So we feel very comfortable about the ability to prorate this run rate into the rest of the year and end at about 93%, as Alok described.
Got it. Pretty helpful. Thanks for the detailed answer. Second, I think on our largest tenant, which is TCS, obviously, of late we all have come across news about you know, the let-offs. Any sort of discussion that you guys are having with them in terms of any space which can come out, which is currently occupied and they want to exit because of this let-off in employee count?
That's an interesting question, but let me tell you, you know, without taking names, they have not rendered single square inch of space in the last 5 years. And if, and I don't know, I mean, so my team told me they want more space in one of our assets. So I would, you know, I would just say that. But I think, you know, my sense here is let's not get kind of a, you know, get unnerved by a noise here and there. Some of the companies go through this cycle. But let me just give you one, while you have heard about one small, you know, I don't know, negative or whatever it is, but large tech companies, they have decided to increase their, you know, back to office from 2 days to 3 days. Now, that company wants space from us in Noida, Gurgaon, Calcutta. So, while what I'm saying is some noise and they will keep happening, but the momentum in India for leasing is very strong, whether it's through GCCs, whether it's back to office, whether it's through SEG spaces getting converted into NPA, whether it's Indian companies, which can take today space in SEG campuses, which they were never able to take. And so one news here and there doesn't affect us, and it's no effect on the ground. That's a point I'm seeing.
Sure. Thanks for clarifying that. And just one last on the interest rate reduction part. So some of it we have already realized. Some of it is yet to. Overall, how much does it adds to our current DPU run rate if the rest 50-55 basis points gets translated to us over next couple of months? Couple of months, if you think that we are going to benefit fully from whatever is already cut by the RBI.
Amit here, so overall at the portfolio level, the benefit of 55 basis points rate cut that will come to us over the next 1 or 2 months would be in the range of around 60 crore, out of which REIT share would be say around 37 crore, because I'm taking the economic interest that REIT has in certain assets like NCT, G1 and Kairos. And on an annualized basis, going forward, I would say the overall benefit that would accrue to REIT would be in the range of 60 crores, which would translate into 1 rupee per unit of distribution.
Got it. That's helpful. Thank you. That's it from my side, and all the best.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Avinav Sinha from Jefferies India. Please go ahead.
Hi. So just a couple of questions on what you're seeing in terms of leasing trends on ground. So you have already elaborated a bit. But between the assets which we see in CBD versus outside CBD, how are you seeing rental uptick specifically? And, also on the occupancy side, if you can talk a bit about that.
No, so, see, the leasing momentum is across kind of a micro markets. CBD as well as, I would say non-CBD properties, leasing momentum is there. A rental increase, which is happening slowly and steadily, is also across all micro markets. Of course, at one quarter, a particular micro market can do better than other micro market. That's always the main. But unless there are specific questions, I would say leasing momentum is across assets, across micro markets, CBD as well as non-CBD properties.
And on rental itself?
Yes. See, it's very obvious when your occupancies move from 80% to 90%, when you're leasing in top 8 cities in country has been touching all-time high from last 2 years. It's expected to be 90 million square feet this year. It was close to 90 million square feet last year. Not many new properties are coming up. So, of course, there's trending of rentals, and tenants also know that they have to if they want space, they have to close space fast. Otherwise, as occupancies are moving up, they will not get a place of their choice, if they're delayed by 6 to 9 months or 12 months. So now that kind of a option is not there, that you can wait for some time and the property would still be available. And then this SEG reforms make sure that, some of the large companies, and I can't name them, but from telecom sector, from automobile sector, they are looking at our campuses and at other campuses as well. I mean, not only ours, but even for other top-notch developers. So the pool of tenant has opened up actually. So that's giving a lot of positive traction.
And I'll just add one point to this. With the residential cycle doing so well, land prices generally in infill locations have gone up. And what that really does is, for any incremental supply to come, they have to charge a higher rental than those prevailing in the market, and definitely the buildings that are already leased. And that creates a good spread for properties like ours to capture that, or at least grow at inflationary rates going forward. So on the rental growth, as Alok said, I think we feel very good, because
generally everything around either is coming at is coming in a project who had to pay a little bit above market for the land to secure it while residential was doing well, or there is no supply coming online because land has become too expensive. And both points put together actually create a very good demand supply dynamic for properties like ours.
Right. The second question on the acquisition pipeline that you have presented. So fair to assume that we will be looking to acquire this over a few years, I mean in chunks, rather than all at one go?
Yeah, I mean, the sponsor group has a lot of properties, so it's difficult to acquire everything in one go. But as I described earlier, with 4,500 crores to 5,000 crores of dry powder in equity terms between the QIP and the preferential allotment, you know, if this goes successfully, we will be able to buy almost 7,000 to 7,500 crores of asset value. Now, there are two ways to do it. Either we buy 100% of 7,500 crores or we buy 50% stake in 15,000 crores. So there are both ways to do it, but the sponsor group has more assets beyond it. So we expect that activity like this will keep happening every year with the REIT trying to scout for acquisition opportunities from third parties as well as the sponsor as we move along.
Right, and also in tandem, how low is Brookfield willing to go down on the stake part?
So I would say in percentage terms, I think we'll still be the single largest shareholder in the REIT after this preferential allotment, and far, far higher than the second largest unit holders in the REIT, and there are plenty of them. But again, I mean, I think stake percentages start becoming slightly less relevant when you see absolute amount of money put into the market. Today, if Brookfield owns 25% of 20,000 crore market cap, it's 5,000 crores of money at work, while the regulatory minimum is just 500 crores. So it's very, very significant. I'll judge it less by the percentage, but more by the amount of investment that Brookfield has in this vehicle going forward. The number can be anywhere between, you know, 15 to 25, but the absolute amount matters a lot more, in our opinion.
Great, and thanks and all the best to the team.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Dheeraj Dave from Samvad Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Thanks for giving me opportunity. My question related on slide 9, we had been given an indicative performer leasing DPU of around 25.7 rupees. So are we giving any guidance or in view of this new issues we tend to reserve? And if it is basically, would it make sense to give us guidance rather than a performer kind of it? Because if it is, then in how many years' time we expect to reach that 25.7, assuming the same portfolio, no change in issues? It's such an assumption.
Yeah, so Dheeraj, for this year, we have not given a DPU guidance, but we have distributed 5.25 last quarter. This quarter also, we are distributing, you know, 5.25. But for this year, we are not given a guidance. Now, this 25.7 is something, you know, I would say, it's probably around 2 years time frame, I would say. A few months here and then, you know, it could be earlier, it could be later. But, you know, this is an indicative number, you know, which does not capture, which only talks about if on today's rental, you know, the properties get leased. It's not catching the escalations which can happen over 2 years. This is an indicative number to show the headroom, and this should not serve as a guidance.
Yeah, I understand, and I understand the term, but with certain assumptions, assuming same kind of portfolio. Means obviously, if you, the things underlying assets have changed considerably as you are exploring some acquisition, that definitely there would be change. But wouldn't it make, because you had been giving guidance in past, is that, and all the REIT players, most of the prominent one also gives indicative guidance. So it makes sense, then it, among the peer group, it becomes relatively better to compare. So just one submission from our side or my side. Please consider giving guidance. You may put all the essential assumptions, not because you in past you had been giving guidance and you have done significant acquisition after that as well. So just one suggestion, because just this pro forma doesn't help us to, as you correctly said, this will happen over period 2 years time. So we don't know when exactly we should do. So if management gives a formal guidance, that would be helpful. So just one feedback. Second part, like we see significant distribution, or at least we see there is a shift in distribution, which is increasingly interest portion is getting less, or taxable portion is getting less. So how should one see direction over 1-2 years time? Do we see further reduction in the taxable portion in distribution?
Right. So if you see, you know, our current ratio of dividend component and capital distribution component is around 60-62%. Dividend in the range of 10-12%. We expect that dividend component of the distribution will increase over the next few quarters, thereby reduction in the interest component. So we are targeting to reach a dividend composition of say 15-20% over the next few quarters.
In how many quarters or a year, if you can, let us say March 26, what would be expected dividend component in distribution?
So hard to give a number as of now, you know, as I said, over the next few quarters, there should be growth in the dividend component. Maybe we can come back with a specific, you know, details around that.
Yeah, and humble request, please give us guidance with assumptions. No, definitely, but whatever, because that helps us to compare all the rates. Thanks a lot. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Pradyuman Chaudhary from JM Financial Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just a couple of questions. One, as a follow-up to the previous participant, is there any particular reason why they're not given the D2 guidance? Like, is it to do with the acquisition that we're planning, or any other reason as well?
No, I wouldn't say we haven't given any guidance. We have basically charted out the path for the distribution profile of the REIT itself. Of course, you know, in view of the management, it can take, as Alok always describes, about 8 quarters for us to reach those numbers. So in a way, you can prorate the 21 to 26 into two tranches, where you say every 5% of occupancy will give you about 3 rupees. That's the thumb rule. So we have given it in a way, because we have given you the 93% occupancy guidance, but there's no specific reason for it. I think we are in an environment where interest rates are dropping as well. Difficult for us to put that into our forecast. We can only talk about leasing, which we have spoken about as a part of our materials.
And any indication on these acquisitions, whether they'd be DPU accretive from first year or not?
I mean, that's the intention. In the past, whatever we have done, you know, those acquisitions have been, you know, from modestly to very well. Like, it has been as low as 2% in some acquisitions, but as high as 10% incrementally in the most recent acquisition. So, our intention will be to have a DPU accretion, you know, right from the first quarter, not even the first year.
Understood. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Kunal from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Great, thank you. My first question was around your financing structure. You know, your exposure to floating rates is serving you very well in market conditions like these. But given that, you know, sooner than later we should be headed to bottom of the rate curve, are you thinking along the lines of increasingly shifting in favor of fixed? And I'm asking particularly because, you know, given that you have upcoming acquisitions, you know, does it help by sort of locking in rates at a low absolute level?
Yeah, sure, Kunal. Sharon here. Does make sense to think about fixed rate bonds with where we are in terms of the cycle. So as we look to raise incremental debt for re-levering, you know, what we've historically raised as equity, you know, a bond structure definitely looks far better today. We obviously look to balance between long-term maturity, tenor on one side, pricing on the other side, and it's a right balance so that we are also not exposing the REIT to refinancing risk on an incremental basis. But I think we constantly keep watching the bank loan and capital markets, and going forward, you should continue to see some amount of bond issuances that will give us a fixed rate and a floating rate structure to our capital mix.
Got that. Okay. And then just to follow up on the rental rates in the market, a lot of the listed companies from where we have the data are essentially confident of path to early 90s, mid-90s in terms of occupancy. So I think based on past behavior, would you say a 90% sort of occupancy level is enough for you to start seeing those upper divisions to rental rates? Or will it have to be more like mid-90s or late 90s to increasingly get there?
So, Kunal, rate revisions keep happening from, asset to asset and on quarter to quarter. Of course, it's a function of so many things, difficult to kind of factor in everything. But if you recollect, in Calcutta, our renters got re-rated almost by, I would say, almost 35 to 40%, when we had a large lease of, large lease coming up, and we did our properties, we did from SEG to NPA. So I would say as occupancies are moving upwards, we are already seeing rate revisions, and as occupancies move from early 90s to mid 90s and they cross mid 90s, these assets have seen much higher occupancies in past pre-COVID, and that also will happen. We have seen some assets achieving those occupancies, late 90s, some assets, it's a work in progress. Rate division is a continuous process, and we'll see continuous rate divisions.
Got it. And then the final one, again, a follow-up on IT services bit. Given this TCS news flow, there'll be quite a bit of debate around, what's coming here next few years. So, and if I just want to understand that as you think about this part of your tenant base, what proportion of the tenants are sort of back in office, maybe once or twice a week, versus those that are back more regularly, probably helps us draw, a line to thinking as to, as more of these companies have a return to office, how much of a cushion that could serve.
Well, I think that's a good question. And if you really see from last 5 years and over next, I would say 2 to 5 years, you will see tenant profile getting reoriented. If you see our portfolio itself, we had 61% GCC taking space, whereas their share in our portfolio is about mid-30s, about 35%. So gradually the share of GCCs would inch up. Difficult to say finally what it would look like. And then we can also see a lot of, as I said, maybe some of telecom companies, some of Indian companies, domestic companies, taking space across our properties, even SEZs, across non-SEZs, they already have been taking space. So that would happen. The percentage of IT services company will go down, has been going down, so that would happen. But, we are not really worried, because these companies also, one company, one news doesn't define the sector. We have seen companies continuously taking space, even IT services as well. And please keep in mind, most of these IT services companies are already, their portfolio is down to, I would say, 60 to 70% pre-COVID. And their manpower is anything between 50 to 60% up. So today, whenever they need space, they need on as yesterday's basis. We have seen these companies come and they say, we need to close today, not yesterday. I mean, not tomorrow. We need today. We want to start the operations today. And that's still happening, actually. So I think one company, one news, and that also 2% workforce, it doesn't worry us. We have seen that in the past. Really doesn't worry us at all.
Makes sense. Okay. Thanks so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, if you wish to ask any questions, you may press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining today's call. We look forward to connecting with you next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Brookfield India Real Estate Trust Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.